Welcome to Agent Driven Development. Today, you trust the contractor. You do not trust the frontier model. Four things to know. One, trust comes from evidence and systems, not familiarity. Two, code review finds missing trust. It doesn't build it. Three, risk, not author, sets the verification standard. Four, distrust slows us down and wastes senior time. Now, the piece, I have a 3-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old daughter, and I'm learning how to trust them. Not the greeting card version of trust, the operational version. My 5-year-old can go anywhere in the house. Upstairs, downstairs, bedroom, playroom, bathroom, kitchen. If she is not climbing for something sharp or sticky, she has earned household autonomy. Enough that I do not follow her every time she disappears around a corner. My 3-year-old still needs a chaperone to go up the stairs. That sounds unfair until you watch a 3-year-old make a stair decision with full confidence and no evidence. She is brilliant. She is funny. She is also 3. Her judgment is not a moral failing. It is a maturity problem, a feedback problem, and sometimes a sock on hardwood problem. So I do not ask, do I trust my daughters? I ask where I trust each of them. Under what conditions? With what guardrails? And what happens if I'm wrong? That is the actual trust question. I have been having the same conversation with friends about trusting frontier models to write code. The model made a bad abstraction choice. It missed a null edge case. It generated a test that asserted the mock instead of the behavior. The conclusion arrives fast. The model is not trustworthy. Sometimes they are right. Sometimes the more honest sentence is worse. They do not trust any of it. They do not trust the model. They do not trust the contractor. They do not trust a low-rated developer. They do not trust a legacy team that knows the system, but keeps making the same category of mistake. So they validate everything, reread every diff, run every test, trace every deployment path, and wonder whether it would have been faster to do it themselves. That is not a productivity question first. It is a trust question. Sometimes they are using last year's model and expecting this year's frontier result. That is like evaluating cloud migration in 2013 and using the result to make a 2026 infrastructure strategy. It is not analysis, it is a timestamp. Sometimes the model is working inside a legacy code base where the real problem is not model intelligence. The organization refuses to change the system, not cannot, refuses. The team knows the service boundaries are wrong, they know the test suite is theater. They know the deployment path requires tribal knowledge, and two people who remember why the customer export job preserves tenant ordering. Changing it would be uncomfortable. So they ask the model to behave perfectly inside a system humans have tolerated for years. Then they call the model untrustworthy. Meanwhile, a contractor sends an 800-line pull request across that same customer export service. He has been on the account for 3 weeks. Nobody has pair programmed with him. Nobody has watched him debug production. Nobody knows whether he understands why tenant ordering matters, because your largest customer built reconciliation around that behavior in 2019. The review takes 9 minutes. Looks good, merged. This is the trust problem nobody wants to name. You're not deciding whether AI-generated code requires review. You're deciding which actors are trusted by default, which actors are suspicious by default, and whether that trust has anything to do with evidence. The answer is not trust the model. The answer is build a trustworthy delivery system. That starts by rethinking what trust is, how you measure it, and where your bias toward familiar humans hides risk. The frontier model is suspicious because it is new, fails in weird ways, and everyone remembers the demo where it hallucinated a library that did not exist. Fine, skepticism is rational, but look at the rest of the system. Do you trust the contractor because the vendor passed procurement? Do you trust the low-rated developer because human resources has not put them on a plan? Do you trust the offshore team because the delivery manager sends a green report every Friday? Do you trust the senior engineer because they were right about the cache invalidation incident 2 years ago? Do you trust the framework upgrade because the migration guide said it was safe? How much of that trust is earned? How much of it is inherited? How much of it is familiarity, wearing a badge? I keep hearing the same sentence. We tried AI for code and we still had to review everything. What is still doing in that sentence? You review contractors, new hires, and senior engineers when the change touches billing, authentication, payments, customer data, infrastructure, or the weird batch job nobody wants to own. So when the model writes code and you review it, what exactly failed? Did the model fail because review is necessary, or did your trust model fail because review is the only trust mechanism you have? Code review is not where trust is created. Code review is where missing trust becomes visible. If the only way you know whether a change is safe is to have one tired senior engineer raid the diff after lunch, you do not have a review process. You have a human bottleneck with syntax highlighting, There's another complaint that sounds technical until you press on it. The model did not do it the way I would have done it. Okay, is it wrong? Usually there's a pause. No, they say not wrong. It works. The tests pass. The edge case is handled. It is just not how I would structure it. It is a style thing. I'm used to doing it my way. I hear a version of that at bedtime from my 3-year-old. Mommy does not do it like that. Correct. I do not do bedtime like mommy does. I read the book in a different voice. I negotiate water differently. I probably put the blanket on wrong by the standards of a 3-year-old with strong process opinions. But the outcome is the same. The kid is happy. The kid is asleep. The kid is in bed. So here's the uncomfortable question for the professional reviewer. Are you the toddler or the parent? If you're being paid as a professional in the room, your job is not to reject every implementation that violates your bedtime ritual. Your job is to know the difference between unsafe and unfamiliar. If the model creates a race condition, leaks customer data, or hides a domain assumption inside a helper, nobody will notice until reconciliation breaks. Reject it loudly. That is, review doing its job. If the model picked a different but readable structure and the behavior is correct, what are you protecting, your standard or your preference? I have to talk about the math here. I married an accountant. Money makes the world go around. If this were only about cool technology, GeoCities might have been the first $1 trillion company. So do the math on distrust. Take a senior engineer at $280,000 fully loaded. That is roughly $135 an hour before meetings, context switching, incident response, mentoring, and the 4 production systems held together by 1 Confluence page written in 2021. Put that engineer in reviews for 8 hours a week. That is $1,080 a week, $56,000 a year for 1 senior engineer doing review as an activity. 10 senior engineers doing that is $560,000 a year. What are you buying if the review catches payment edge cases, race conditions, broken migration order, missing telemetry, security mistakes, and real customer risk defects? You're buying something. If the review mostly catches naming, formatting, style preferences, can we move this helper? And I would have structured this differently. You're buying bedtime enforcement at senior engineer rates. Your chief financial officer should hate that. Your chief technology officer should hate that more. Because the bill is not just salary. It is cycle time, missed roadmap, senior attention, developer morale, and the quiet decision by good engineers to stop pushing hard, because every path ends in the same review swamp. If a frontier model writes the first implementation in 20 minutes and your human spends 40 minutes reviewing the domain assumption, you may be ahead. If the model writes the tests, runs the suite, fixes the first failure, and leaves the human to review risk, you may be far ahead. And Mark, if you keep uploading your specs so your teammates can review the spec, I'm going to use your real name here. Do not make the spec review the work. Generate the code with the agent review the output against the outcome. Did the customer workflow work? Did the test prove the behavior? Did the migration preserve the data? Did the application programming interface contract hold? Then generate again. I just got you a bazillion story points and happier developers. But if your process treats the model as suspicious and the contractor as normal, you're not measuring risk, you're measuring novelty. Trust is not a feeling, trust is a system property. You do not trust a contractor because their badge says contractor, you trust them when their work lands safely over time. Tests catch mistakes, blast radius is small, rollback is boring, and telemetry proves the customer did not become the test suite. So what would make a frontier model trustworthy? The same things: small changes, clear contracts, real test behavior, assertions instead of mock worship, type checks, contract tests, a local environment the agent can run. Continuous delivery with canaries, feature flags, roll forward plans, rollback, and telemetry. A work log that shows what it tried, what failed, and what changed. I'm not advocating for blindly shipping code because a model wrote it. Please tell me you're using good software engineering practices. Please tell me you have continuous delivery that can survive contact with production. Roll forward plans, automated checks, observable deployments, feature flags, canaries, and a way to know whether the thing you shipped is hurting customers before a customer tells. Thanks for listening to Agent Driven Development. Find more at agentdrivendevelopment.com.